You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in to another new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's Locked On Rockets is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download their mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets, and the promo code LORockets gets you a $20 rebate on your first purchase. With that said, I don't want to delay any longer. Let's get right into the show because, well, we finally have news. Donatas Mateunas' agent, he's making the rounds, and for the first time in 6 weeks, we finally have some clarity and somewhat of an update on Mateunas' contract situation and where it stands with the Rockets. And, well, it's a non-update because, in B.J. Armstrong's words, the Rockets have not really made him an offer. They're waiting on, as happens with a lot of free agents, the Rockets are waiting on Mateunas' team to bring something to them. That has not happened yet because the Rockets have leverage. They have the ability to match any outside offers, so that certainly diminishes the offers that Mateunas can get around the NBA, and so we have a stalemate. And the most interesting part of this, it's not just the update on the stalemate, which I think we all deduced the last few weeks as this drug on from a few weeks into 2.5 months. The most interesting part is that the agent is doing these interviews in the first place. Because here's the thing about agents and NBA journalism, and I think most of you who follow the sport closely know this, agents do not like to speak on the record. Typically, yes, agents have relationships with journalists, but they work behind the scenes. They are the anonymous source. They, you know, their job is to get exposure for their players, that the players do the talking, they kind of guide and frame the stories behind the scenes, but 9 times out of 10, when an agent speaks, it's as anonymous source. They don't want to go on the record. So for the agent, B.J. Armstrong, that's who represents Donatas Mateunas, to speak on the record with both Calvin Watkins of ESPN and Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle, that says a lot about his situation. He says that he's not feeling the pressure, that it's not a bad situation. Well, his actions speak louder than words. He's clearly feeling a little bit of heat. He's a little concerned, and so that's why he's willing to go on the record. And we are going to have Calvin Watkins join the show in a little bit. He's a great writer at ESPN, and he broke the story first on the new update with Mateunas and the Rockets. But for now, I just want to hit home just how important this interview in and of itself is, because it tells me that B.J. Armstrong is not getting the interest elsewhere in the NBA, so he's trying to get Donatas back in the headlines and put a little bit of heat on the Rockets. Now, a couple of takeaways from this. First and foremost, take off the tinfoil hat, people. I think the vast majority have been on the side, as we've said on this show before, that there hasn't been an update because there's not much going on. Restricted free agents, it takes the market. Teams typically let the market set the value, and it's tough to generate interest when the original team can match. So you have the stalemate. On the other hand, there has been a small but vocal minority insisting for weeks that, well, it can't really be this quiet. Demo must have a deal lined up somewhere else, and the Rockets are, you know, just waiting for the right time to announce the sign and trade or something like that. I've always been skeptical of that, but B.J. Armstrong doing these interviews should hammer home that no, that's not what's going on. Because, again, an agent does not give these two interviews if he's got a satisfactory option, if he has something that he's working towards that he thinks is going to work. He gives these interviews because the market is that quiet and he wants to generate discussion. He wants to get this out there and, if nothing else, at least push back against the notion of restricted free agency. So I think simply by Armstrong granting these interviews, it tells you that, no, there's not some grand secret. There's nothing waiting from another team to where the Rockets and the other team are just waiting to, you know, cross the T's and dot the I's and assign a trade proposal. It's this quiet because, well, there's just not that much going on right now. Another interesting thing about it is the agent's use of October 1st as a deadline of sorts. He referred in his piece with Calvin Watkins, he referred to October 1st as the day that's going to spur action. And that's interesting because for those of you that listen to me on this show, I mentioned earlier this week that I saw Friday, September 23rd, basically a week from tomorrow, as that kind of deadline day, because Monty Unis should want to report for camp. It's a big season for him if he wants to reestablish his value, the kind of value that obviously he's not getting now, seeing as how these negotiations have dragged out 10 weeks. So my suspicion was that, you know what, and this is probably, or well, it may or probably still happen, that the Rockets will go to him next week and a deal can get done so that he can be in camp by media day. There's no awkward questions, and he can be ready for training camp and hopefully to earn a role in Mike D'Antoni's rotation. However, that timetable definitely tilts towards the Rockets, because in that scenario, and I still think there may be truth to it, it's all predicated on Monty Unis wanting to report to camp to get the best spot in the Rockets rotation that he can so that he can establish full value next summer. Again, if Monty Unis wants to play leverage, he does have the qualifying offer in his back pocket, which he has until October 1st to take. And so I've seen some people saying that, well, maybe he's not going to sign the qualifying offer. No, the leverage here is that he would sign the qualifying offer on October 1st, because that is not an ideal situation for the Rockets. Now, first and foremost, I think everybody knows about qualifying offers. It gives a player, it's a one-year deal. In this case, it would be for $4.4 million. That's what the Rockets extended to Monty Unis in July, so that they would have the right of first refusal so that they could match any outside offers. So if Monty Unis were to sign that qualifying offer immediately, it would give him veto power over any trades. And you know what? That's a big deal to Daryl Morey, because Morey wants flexibility, and, you know, Morey did trade Monty Unis at the deadline this year. So it's not, it's not far-fetched that would be a serious drawback to how Daryl Morey views a deal. The second aspect with it is that, in addition to giving Monty Unis veto rights on any trade this year, it would make him an unrestricted free agent next summer. And, of course, it would seem to be that he would be on his way out of Houston in this scenario. It would feel like the Greg Monroe thing a few years back. But in addition to being an unrestricted free agent, even if the Rockets were able to trade him and found a partner that Monty Unis would approve, the team trading for him would not have his bird rights. No one would have his bird rights, not the Rockets, not the team he trades for. So it would significantly decrease his value, both to the Rockets and around the league, if he signs that qualifying offer, because basically there'd be no advantage for the team that has him on the roster this year. He would just be an unrestricted free agent, and whether it be the Rockets keeping him or the Rockets trading him somewhere else, it takes a huge dent out of his value. So that is a threat. I don't think that's what Monty Unis wants to do, because $4.4 million, well, it's below his market value for this year. I'm sure the Rockets would be willing to pay him more than that on a one-year deal. But there is a reason that Monty Unis could use that $4.4 million as leverage. Will he do it? I'd be surprised. Most likely outcome here to me still is that Monty Unis and the Rockets get together next week and they come up with something similar to what Festus Ezeli did with the Blazers. Ezeli's another young big man with injury concerns. He signed 2 years, $16 million, second year non-guaranteed. That might be a fair template for Monty Unis. But if Monty Unis is not getting the deal he wants, that qualifying offer does give him leverage over the Rockets. Is he willing to do it? I don't know, but Armstrong throwing that out there to Calvin Watkins shows you that he's not willing to rule it out. So, yes, there is a chance that he might not make it to training camp. I would be surprised, but yeah, the chance is out there, especially after these interviews. The last point I want to make is on restricted free agency. At least a third of Armstrong's conversation with both Watkins and Fagan was spent blasting the system, which takes away from player leverage. We've heard agents do this a lot lately and kind of hint at trying to change it for the next collective bargaining agreement. In my opinion, that's not going to happen. You might can change and tweak it. You might can, for example, if you were to narrow the window for matching from 72 hours to 24 hours, which in today's digital world, that's very reasonable, I think you might see more teams willing to gamble on restricted free agents if it didn't tie up their money for 72 hours. But I don't think you're going to see it taken away, because owners want a way to keep their young players. You know, if you draft a good young player because he's a restricted free agent, you at least have him under control for typically 6, 7, 8 years. And with Kevin Durant going to Golden State, LeBron going to Miami a few years back, the issue of stars leaving small markets, it's very sensitive to owners. So even though it's not great for players, I don't see it changing. Again, you could tweak it to maybe give restricted free agents a little bit more leverage, but no, I do not think it's going to go away. Now, we are going to get to Calvin Watkins, talk a little bit more about his chat with BJ Armstrong in just a second. While we're getting him connected, I want to throw out a shout out to our friends at SeatGeek, because buying tickets online for sports and concerts, well, it's been a confusing process for quite a while. It's hard to find the best deal for the right game or show that you want to go to, and many of the older sites, well, they just don't want to change that. And that's because the confusion works to their advantage. But SeatGeek is different. They have come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans like us to buy and sell tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for you, the sports fan. They do all of the price comparisons by searching multiple ticket sites to ensure that you get the best possible deal. They also want to help you get the most bang for your buck, and they do that by grading every ticket on the site from 1 to 100, with 100 being the best deal. So you can very easily find any underpriced seats and get the best deals for your budget. Now, to get your $20 rebate on tickets, here's what you do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, and then enter the promo code LORockets. SeatGeek will then send you $20 in the mail after you've made your first ticket purchase with them. So remember, download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LORockets today. By the way, another thing I should have mentioned in that opening segment, it absolutely cracked me up to hear BJ Armstrong refer to Monte Yunus in one of those interviews as a starting center. Now look, I do have some sympathy for the situation. I don't think anyone's doing anything terribly wrong, but yes, the Rockets have not aggressively pursued him. They're using the restricted free agency status to their advantage, and I get that as far as calling out the Rockets, but more so the restricted free agency system in general with the NBA's collective bargaining agreement, he's trying to drum up some sympathy for his client. I get that, but if you're going to play that card, if you're BJ Armstrong, you're going to do that, then don't be disingenuous and refer to your client as a starting center, because that's clearly just to boost, a weak attempt to boost Monte Yunus' market value. Monte Yunus did not even play 20 minutes a game last year. He missed the majority of the season coming off of back surgery, and really, he's a power forward. He can be a good offensive player, but he's very limited in terms of rebounds and shot blocking. He can play center in a pinch, but calling Giannis Monte Yunus a starting center, it's like the fantasy basketball player that, you know, sees a power forward play 5 or 10 minutes a game at center, so he argues vehemently for center eligibility. Well, technically, you might can call Monte Yunus a center in terms of eligibility, but is he a starting center? Is he a guy that you can point to as, you know, a leading big man in the NBA? No, that's a reach for market value. And again, that's fine. That's BJ Armstrong trying to play the game, and that's his right, but it comes across a little hollow when BJ Armstrong is calling out the Rockets and the NBA for using the system to their advantage, and then, you know, he's going to say something like that simply to try and boost Monte Yunus' value. Anyway, with that said, got Calvin waiting. Let's get to him. Calvin Watkins, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing well. You got a pretty nice scoop last night. Nice chat with BJ Armstrong, former NBA player, now, of course, the agent representing Giannis Monte Yunus. I've been talking about that the last few minutes on this show, but for anyone who didn't read your story or hasn't gotten around to it yet, what's the gist of it? What did BJ tell you about where things stand between Monte Yunus and the Rockets right now?
Well, he said negotiations between Monte Yunus and the Rockets have been slow. He's a little concerned that it's done by the start of training camp, which is next Saturday. And if things don't get done by October 1st, then they're going to have to make a decision. And that decision could be, we're not going to sign the qualifying offer, which is about $3.5 million. There's only so much they can do because he is a restricted free agent. And it's not like there are a lot of teams banging down the door to try to sign him. Because if the team, you know, tries to sign Monte Yunus, the Rockets have the right to match the contract. So they're kind of stuck. But I think it's a little bit of a negotiating point from BJ's perspective. He's just trying to get things going for Monte Yunus and the Rockets.
Yeah. One of the things that really jumped out to me, I said it a few moments ago, but I think it shows that people need to take off the tinfoil hats. You know, there's been a small part of Rockets Twitter in the offseason that's kind of been wondering, well, you know, is there a deal and the Rockets and Demo just haven't announced it yet, or is there a sign and trade being worked on? To me, just the fact that you know, that Armstrong would do these interviews with you and Jonathan, you know, it shows you that, as you said, he's trying to kind of get the conversation started. You know, his willingness to do that, speak on the record, it seems like he's really trying to nudge the negotiations along.
Yeah, I think he wants to get it done. And as he said to me, you know, one of the things he said was, you know, I've gotten a lot of deals done in the 11th hour. You know, and it's true. I mean, usually up against the deadline, that's when you do your best work, because everybody wants to get it done. So I do believe they'll get this done. I mean, Mike D'Antoni has met Giannis. He wants him on the team. The Rockets want Giannis. Now, yeah, he had some back issues last year coming from the surgery, but he showed that he could play. He showed he's recovered from that. That trade with the Pistons, they got rescinded because he failed that physical because of the back surgery. Giannis always thought that, you know what, maybe this trade might hurt my value to other teams. And I think it did a little bit, but for the fact, simple fact that the Rockets want to bring him back gives him a little bit of purpose, I think, in a little bit of sense.
Yeah. Another aspect of it that's interesting to me is what you said earlier about October 1st. Because in the past, me and a lot of other people, we've all been working on the assumption of, you know, September 24th, you know, the opening of training camp, that that's kind of the deadline. And so to me, how I've read it, it's almost like BJ's trying to push back, reminding people that, hey, you know, Monta Ellis is willing to miss some of training camp and, you know, potentially take it down to the wire and accept that qualifying offer, because, of course, there are drawbacks. If he accepts that qualifying offer, he can veto all trades, nobody has bird rights, all that kind of stuff. So it seems like to me, I don't know, this is just me reading the tea leaves, but whereas before the hope might have been, hey, we can, you know, Monta Ellis will accept something next week right before camp and get him in, and it just seems like BJ's trying to say, hey, maybe he will miss camp or part of camp.
I think, you know, my camp is next week. It's funny because when I talked to BJ, he was like, camp's next week? And I was like, yeah. And I think even he was caught off guard by it. The only reason my camp is starting as early as it is because the Rockets are going to China for a week to play the Pelicans in two preseason games. So that's why camp is starting a week earlier than normal. Because if not, your camp would start probably the last week of September or the first week of October. But I think even he got caught off guard a little bit from the fact that camp is starting earlier or sooner, and now he's trying to push the Rockets to get a deal done. There hasn't been a serious offer in the last couple of weeks from the Rockets to, you know, the BJ. And when I talk to people with the Rockets, they don't seem concerned. They feel like, hey, these things will go slow, you know, it'll pick up. So when you're talking both sides, at the end of the day, everyone believes they will come together and get a deal done. But right now, it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah. I'm just curious from the Rockets' perspective, how important is this? I know that, as you said, everybody's calm, and, you know, he is restricted, so it's not like
they
he can just...
They control him. Yeah, they control him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like he can go elsewhere, but it does seem important, because just looking at the roster right now, you've got Ryan Anderson starting, who's, you know, he's a good player, but he certainly had injury concerns. He's also not the best defensively. And then after that, at power forward, your backup power forward now is probably Michael Beasley, who's not even a power forward, or Montrezl Harrell. So it seems like it's a pretty big deal for their roster that they eventually get this done.
Yeah, this is your backup power forward. This is a guy who started 22 games last year for you. And as you know, Ben, once he came back to the Rockets after that trade got rescinded, J.B. Bickerstaff put him in the starting lineup. He said, you know what, we're going to prove to everybody you can play, you know. And he played pretty good. You know, he was a little rusty, but I thought he got better with playing time. And then they obviously had to make some more changes, so they sat him down again. But, yeah, Monta Ellis can play. When healthy, he's a very good player. The previous year, when he was healthy, I thought he had a fantastic role with the team. And if he is 100% healthy, which we believe he is, he'll have another solid role with this team backing up Anderson at power four.
Yeah. One of the other things that BJ talked about, both with you and Jonathan, was how unfair the restricted free agent system is for a lot of these players. And I get that it's frustrating. Like, I don't know, maybe one of the tweaks I could see is maybe making the 72-hour wait period 24 hours. You know, the world's digital anyway. Maybe you get more offers if you don't tie up a team's money for 72 hours, because obviously that's what kind of takes away from the interest in July. But I can't really see restricted free agency going away, because the thing is, in the aftermath of Durant going to Golden State, LeBron going to Miami a few years ago, I don't know, to me, and this is just me speculating, and I'd like you to do the same, but it seems like there's too many owners that would be too worried about, hey, I'm going to lose this young player, for restricted free agency to go away entirely. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair to say. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the NFL, where they have the restricted tenders and
yep.
the franchise tag,
yep.
and the players and agents can't stand it. But the owners will say, well, look, on a franchise tag, you guarantee $15 million or $12 million depending on your position, because it's based on the top five salaries at your position and some convoluted formula that the league came up with. And in the NBA, they have these, you know, when your contract's up, I think you should be free. My contract's up at ESPN, I'm free. I can go to wherever I want,
Yep.
But in sports, specifically the NBA, when we were talking about, you become a restricted free agent. And then there's some windows there about the offers. And TJ Armstrong is right, that a player, if he's free, he's free. But if he's restricted, then give him some more flexibility to get his deal done, not only with his team, but with another team. And if his original team wants to match it, then so be it. But at least give him the opportunity to get more offers in a greater window.
Yep. Last question, Monty Yunus. And again, this is speculation, but my take, and I'd like to see if...
Speculating? I can't believe you're speculating.
I know. Imagine that. My sense is that whenever a deal gets done, it's going to be 1 or 2 years. I mean, me looking at this, if he was willing to sign a 3 or 4 year deal, I think it would have happened in July. For it to drag out this long, it seems pretty clear that Demo and also BJ, they hadn't gotten they haven't gotten the deal that they want. So no matter whether it's the qualifying offer, whether it's a prove-it deal like Festus Ezeli got in Portland, it seems at this point like it's more likely to be something shorter so that he can hopefully, you know, be healthy, prove his value, and then get a bigger deal, you know, in a year or two in free agency. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. If I'm the Rockets, I'm not trying to give Demo, you know, $118 million.
Yeah.
But I would like to keep him for at least 2 years. And here's why. Ryan Anderson's had some health issues
yep.
the last couple of years. So if he goes down, you want Monty Ennis, who's ready to go, you know, into the starting lineup. Now, yes, they have Michael Beasley. He's more of a big range shooter. I don't think he's as good a defender as Demo is.
Nope.
But you need Donatis. I mean, he's a guy who's got pretty good chemistry with James Harden and Trevor Ariza and Pat Beverly. So he's been part of that core group of players with the Rockets for the last couple of years. So I would say if I'm Armstrong, I'm not obviously, I would want a 2 year deal of some sort. That way, Donatis has got 2 years, and he's basically at his prime right now, or it should be, to showcase what he can do. You know he's going to play. He's probably going to start, because Anderson's going to get nicked up, because that's what he's done in his career. And get your 2 year deal and then test the market when you really become an unrestricted free agent at 2 seasons.
Yep. Sounds reasonable. All right, Calvin, thanks so much for the time, buddy.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You too. That was Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com. Great follow on Twitter at Calvin Watkins, even better guy. Happy that he got the exclusive with BJ Armstrong last night to give us the update with Donatis Moneyutz and the Rockets and where things stand. Even happier, of course, that he was willing to join the show and talk with us. So with that fun interview complete, it's a good place to wrap up the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And you can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com with any sponsorship or media inquiries. Again, today's show was brought to you by SeatGeek. You can download their mobile app for the easiest way to buy tickets. And that promo code LORockets gets you a $20 rebate off of your first purchase. So again, thanks to all of you for listening, and I'll be catching up with you again very soon.